إن الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل فقد أمرنا الله تعالى بذلك في كتابه الكريم فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا ثم أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, when Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi, the person who murdered Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he planned his scheme or decided that he was going to murder Umar, he decided to choose a time, the best time, where the people's concentration would be focused away. And he decided to choose the time of Salah. And the Salah where the people's concentration would be the strongest was in the Fajr and when it was dark. And so he chose that time. Abu Lu'lu, in the Masjid al-Nabawi, he had chosen a pillar to the side of the mihrab, the place where the Imam prays, where Umar radiallahu anhu was coming, the Khalifa of the Muslimin, was coming for Fajr prayer to lead the congregation. And he stayed there all night, waiting in the darkness. And he had to stay there during the night because the people would then fill in the first row, the second row, and fill in the rows from there. As Umar radiallahu anhu would recite, and it's narrated that Umar radiallahu anhu would choose long surahs in the Fajr prayer so that the people and the Muslims of Medina could come and be able to join in the salah. So he would read very long surahs in the first rak'ah. And as the salah started, Umar radiallahu anhu began to recite, Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi came out from the corner. And they say also that the fact that someone was walking in front of them wasn't something strange for them, because very often the masjid would fill up and people would have to go by the imam and pray beside the imam. Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi went to Umar radiallahu anhu with a dagger that was poisoned, stood right in front of Umar radiallahu anhu and slit open his stomach during the salah. Now there's some very important points that happen after that. Umar radiallahu anhu screamed from the pain, but notice, and the narrations that we remember that Umar radiallahu anhu is the person that died, but actually seven Sahaba died in that same incident. Because when he turned around, the front row was so packed together that there was no way he could escape except through the Muslims. And so he began stabbing left and right, killing another a Muslim after a Muslim as he tried to make his way out until they had thrown a cloth over him. Umar radiallahu anhu didn't shut down the salah. He didn't stop the salah. He continued leading the prayer. And as some people may say that bleeding breaks your wudu, we have here the example of Umar radiallahu anhu, who was bleeding profusely but continued his salah and continued to pray. Some people thought that pause, that he had made a mistake in his recitation, but he hadn't. He had completed his salah, and by that time, Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, someone had thrown a cloth over him, and that knowing that he was captured, he took the same dagger and killed himself and committed suicide. And Umar radiallahu anhu later passed away after that because of those wounds. The importance of salah cannot be overstated in Islam. If you see the ahadith talking about the pillars of Islam, the things by which Islam stands and by which if they're broken, the Islam collapses on that person. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Buniya al-Islamu ala khams, shahadati an la ilaha illallah, that there's no God but Allah, wa anni rasulullah, and that I'm the messenger of Allah, wa iqamatus salah, to establish the salah, coming immediately after the tawheed of a person." And you'll see that in the most majestic circumstances does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about the salah. For when all the ahkam, all the rulings were revealed on earth to the Prophet ﷺ, Allah chose the Isra, chose the Mi'raj, the ascension of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the heavens when he came closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the salah fard and compulsory upon the Muslims. And reading the Quran in Surah Taha, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to Musa alayhi salam and speaks directly to Musa. And these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Musa. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa that there is no God but me. And Allah, these are the words that Allah said to Musa. فَاعْبُدْنِي, so worship me. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish the prayer for my remembrance. And you'll see that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers, such as in Surah Mu'minun, you'll see consistently that one of the greatest characteristics of the believers, because you see many groups, people trying to increase the iman of their followers, and many workers, people, Muslim activists working to increase the iman of their people, look at the mu'min and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that the believers are successful, the mu'minun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just leave you there, that you go and figure out what a mu'min is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describes their characteristics one after the other. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, those who concentrate in their salah. Those in their salah, those who concentrate. And you'll notice here that it's not a question whether they do salah or not. To be a mu'min, the person has to do their salah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says one step more than that. It is those that concentrate in their salah. And the importance of the salah comes in hadith after hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَّلُ مَا يُسْأَلُ الْعَبْدُ عَنْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first question that the person will be asked on the Day of Judgment is the salah. And subhanAllah, some people, maybe in the university, you try to get a cheat sheet, or if there's the day before the exam, if you could get the questions that are going to be asked, you would go and prepare for that. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you the question that's going to be asked. And you know the question, and you know you're going to be tested. Allah subhanahu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the first question, question number one, you pull down the paper and it says, question number one, how was your salah? فَإِنْ كَانَ خَيْرًا, that if it's good, then everything after that should be good. You should pass your complete exam on the Day of Judgment. And if it's bad, then everything after that should be bad. And in reality, when a person has the khushu' and increases his awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the salah, when they leave the salah, as some of the ulama of the past have said, that they'll enter salah and they feel sadness that the salah is going to come to end soon. Whereas when a person hasn't reached that level, they're concerned that the salah, hoping that the salah will end soon. But these are people who have understood the salah, having the sadness in their heart that they're in the third rak'ah, the fourth, and their connection and their discussion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their prayer to Allah is going to complete. And so when the person comes to that lofty position of his nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the salah, after he completes the salah, he feels ashamed and shy to go back to the low position that he may have done, the sin that he may have done before that salah. And that's the kind of spirit that the salah increases in a person as they go from fajr to dhuhr, to al-asr, to al-maghrib, to al-isha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, that verily the salah forbids a person from the fahsha and the munkar. But you'll see in our community of musalleen, and this is something that remains with the community, that so long, that there are so many bid'ah that may come in, but the one thing that remains consistent is the salah amongst the Muslims. And if you go to other religions and you see that the way they worship, you go from one church to the next and you'll never find two people worshiping in the same way or two churches worshiping in the same way. But when you see the Muslims, you can go from here to any country in the world and people will be performing the salah. But in that community of musalleen, you have some hazy actions that need to be corrected. For example, some of us don't concentrate on what we're saying during the salah. Some speed when they pray. Some wander with their gaze during the salah. The number of raka'at, you'll see by the third raka'ah that many of the people in the jama'ah don't know if it's the third raka'ah or the fourth. And for some, the dunya hugs their heart. They may concentrate more on what their groceries than what they're saying in the salah. And sometimes before the imam even says Allahu Akbar, the person's already speeding into that next position, beating the imam. And if you compare this to those who came before us, Rabi' ibn Khaytham, rahimahullah ta'ala, they said from his consistent lowering of his gaze in salah and outside of salah, people used to think he was blind. People used to think he was blind. He was a student of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And when he would walk with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, or he would come, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's servant would say to him, "Your blind friend is coming. Your blind friend is coming." And when he would hear this, Ar-Rabi'a rahimahullah, he would smile. He wasn't blind, but it was his concentration and thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that a man came into the masjid and he prayed two rak'ahs. And then after praying the two rak'ahs, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Assalamu alaikum." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Wa alaykum assalam, irja fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli." He said, "Go back and pray, for you have not prayed." So the man went back, he prayed the two rak'ahs, and he came back to the Prophet, said, "Salamu alaykum assalam, irja fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli." Go back and pray, for you haven't prayed. The man went back and he came back a third time, "Assalamu alaykum wa alaykum assalam." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Irja' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli." Go back and pray, for you haven't prayed. And this hadith is known as al-musi' salata, the person who didn't know how to pray. It's the hadith of the person that didn't know how to pray. And in every book of fiqh, if it talks about kitab al-salah, this hadith has to be there. And subhanallah, just because of the mistake of this one person, you'll see the entire ummah learned how to make salah from the way the Prophet ﷺ explained it. He said to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he said, "La uhsinu ghayraha." He said, I'm not capable of doing anything better than this salah, fa'allimni. So teach me. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Idha qumta ila salah, fakabbir." He said, if you stand up for salah, then say, "Allahu Akbar," then recite فَقْرَأْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ لَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, then recite what comes easy to you of the Qur'an, ثُمَّ ارْكَعْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاكِعًا, then go into ruku' until you become firm in your ruku', ثُمَّ قُمْ or ثُمَّ اعْتَدِلْ or stand up, حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ قَائِمًا, until you stand up firm in your standing, ثُمَّ مَسْجُدْ, then go down for sajda until you are firm in your sajda, then come up and down, and then do that in your entire salah. Inshallah, today we want to take just a few moments and go back and try to correct our salah just like this person was taught how to correct their salah. Why do we come to the masjid? And why do we come to perform the salah with the congregation? The person comes to the masjid to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you'll see that initial intention of coming and being with the brothers and being able to perform the salah with the musallin, that person might lose it with his wandering heart or a wandering gaze or his speed. And so the person, if he's coming all the way for the salah, that he has to make sure that he's taking full advantage of that salah and making sure he's doing his best to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because verily, the Prophet ﷺ told us that a person will perform his salah and not all of it is written for him. Meaning that a person will perform salah and actually what his actual salah was only 1/10 of what he did. Or 1/4 or 1/3 or 1/2. As the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna al-abd or inna al-rajula layakhruju min al-salah." He said, verily a man will leave his salah and nothing, and only 1/10 of that salah is written for him. Or only 1/9, or only 1/8, and only 1/6, or only 1/5, or only 1/4, or only 1/3. And this is all dealing with the concentration that a person puts into his salah. Uthman ibn Abi Dahja, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that I've never prayed a salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that after the salah, I've asked forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my shortcomings in that salah. We learn from the Sunnah that someone who shortchanges his salah is a thief. The Prophet ﷺ said, the evilest thief is the person who steals from their salah. And the companions asked him, O Messenger of Allah, how does someone steal from their salah? And the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يحسن ركوعها ولا سجودها ولا خشوعها. That the person doesn't perfect the ruku' and doesn't perfect his sujood and doesn't perfect his concentration in the salah. And because of the speed that a person may apply to his salah, it may become as if he's acting like an animal during the salah. And you'll see many hadith that the Prophet ﷺ would forbid someone acting like an animal during the salah, such as you may know in the sajda, that a person was forbidden to put their hands down on the ground because it may be imitating a dog in the way a dog sits, or the way a person goes down, not to imitate like a camel. And the Prophet ﷺ, speaking of the speed that a person may apply, the Prophet ﷺ forbade that a person should peck in salah like a crow. Should peck like a crow. You'll see a crow, maybe there's a piece of bread on the ground. He'll walk up to the bread and peck, pick it up, and then back up. And that's how a person, when they apply their speed, they may go up and down in their salah, pecking, and not fully concentrating and perfecting the ruku' and their sujood. Umar radiallahu anhu, he once stood on the minbar, and he addressed the people speaking about this exact issue. And then he said that verily a man will grow old in Islam and not perfected and completed a single rak'ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they asked him, how is that, O Amir al-Mu'mineen? And then he said that he doesn't perfect its concentration, nor does he perfect his humbleness in that rak'ah, and nor does he perfect his focus on Allah azza wa jal. And once, Ma'ruf al-Karkhi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was standing with two students, some of his senior students. And one of the students, they were arguing of who would lead the prayer. And so this student said, you lead the Isha prayer. And he said finally that, okay, I'll lead the Isha prayer on condition that you lead the Fajr prayer. On condition that you lead the Fajr prayer. And when Ma'ruf al-Karkhi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he heard this, he said, subhanallah, if you think that you're going to be alive to Fajr prayer, that you haven't perfected your salah. If you think that you're going to be alive till Fajr prayer, you haven't perfected your salah. Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was the nephew of Aisha radiallahu anha. He said that when he was young, and every time he would go out to the marketplace, he would always stop by at his auntie's house, Aisha radiallahu anha. And he would ask her if she needed something from the market, and he would go and get it for her. So he says that one day, he came at the time of Duha, which is the time between Fajr and Dhuhr time, around 10 o'clock or something similar to that. He came in around at that time, and he found Aisha radiallahu anha in Salah. He found her in Salah. And he says that I sat there listening to her as she recited over and over again, قوله تعالى, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. That Aisha radiallahu anha was reciting the verse, قَالُوا, saying, aforetime, إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ. These are the people of Jannah, saying that aforetime, or in the past days, in those days that we used to live on earth, that we were afraid with our families, that we lived our lives in fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not accept this from us. فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed His favor upon us. وَوَقَانَا عَذَابِ السَّمُومِ. And saved us from the torment of the hellfire. Aisha radiallahu anha would recite this over and over and over again, invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and crying. As Al-Qasim rahimahullah was sitting there, her nephew, listening to her recite like this. And she kept reciting it over and over and over again, that finally he said, let me go to the marketplace because I don't know if she's going to finish now. So he went to the marketplace, did his work in the marketplace, and came hours later back to Aisha radiallahu anha. And he says, when I came back to visit her, she was there again in the same prayer place, reciting the same verse, invoking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and crying. radiallahu ta'ala anha. How do we concentrate in salah? This is something that many people ask, and the sunnah has many, many ways that teaches us how to concentrate in our salah. And so from that, we learn from the sunnah that we should come early for the salah and prepare ourselves to concentrate. We see from the sunnah that when the muadhin gives the adhan, that the person should repeat what the muadhin is saying. So from the very beginning, the person should be listening to the adhan and paying attention from the moment that the salah time comes in. And we should also, we see from the sunnah that when the adhan is finished, the person should make a dua after that, the supplication after the adhan. And the Prophet ﷺ said, دَعْوَةٌ لَا يُرَدْ بَيْنَ الْأَذَانِ وَالْإِقَامَةِ الدَّعْوَةَ لَا تُرَدْ بَيْنَ الْأَذَانِ وَالْإِقَامَةِ, meaning that dua or a person's prayer isn't refused between the adhan and iqama. And so for a person to be able to make dua during that time, he's most likely in the masjid waiting. He heard the adhan, he's now early for salah, waiting for the iqama, trying to take advantage of that time to make dua. And the Prophet ﷺ also taught us to do our wudu properly, to prepare properly for salah, and not just a speedy wudu. And the Prophet ﷺ also taught us that if he wasn't to put a hardship on the ummah, he would have commanded them to use a miswak for every wudu, or in another narration, for every salah. So we see here that the person's using miswak, doing wudu properly, repeating what the muadhin says, coming early to salah, all in preparation. By that time, the person would probably be right behind the imam and get a very important spot and a very important time where he can prepare himself to concentrate. We should aim in our salah to get the entire reward. That a person shouldn't be happy with 1/10 of their salah, but they should go for the full reward of this salah. Abu Bakr ibn Iyash, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, I saw Habib ibn Thabit in sujood. He said, I saw Habib ibn Thabit in sujood. And he said, if you saw him in sujood, you would think that he was dead because of his concentration in that sujood. You would think that he had frozen. He'd become frozen in that sujood. Thirdly, we should contemplate the ayat and the adhkar that are being recited in the salah. And you should think about every ayah that you're reciting. And it's sad and disheartening that you'll see many people, if you ask them, what are you studying in the university? Most people are studying computers, or that's the thing to go into, and I'm sure there's people studying other things. But the people, if you ask them about COBOL or A++, they have manuals this big, manual after manual. They understand the language of pluses and minuses. But when it comes to the Quran, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, they may live their life 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, and they still don't understand what Surah Al-Fatiha means. Even though they may read it, how many times, maybe 17 times in a day, but they'll please with themselves, or they let it go, that they don't understand what these verses are meaning. Or when a person comes up, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ, when the person gets up from a ruku'ah, he may live his entire life and never know what سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ means. And all it takes is just a question, brother, what does سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ mean? And the person knows the answer. It may take a click on the internet to find the translation of these things and learn about their salah that they're doing every day. But the person just becomes negligent of this and lets life slip away and just lets the river pass them by. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, that won't they contemplate the Quran? For the Quran wasn't meant as some ritual that a person just recites without understanding, but it's meant for the person's contemplation and to live the Quran. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ, that a book that we reveal down to you, مُبَارَكٌ, blessed. And indeed, many people are reading it for blessings, and the Quran is Mubarak. But it doesn't end there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then teaches us why He sent down this blessed book. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, so that its verses would be contemplated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says why this blessed book was revealed down, so that its verses would be contemplated and implemented. We should pray in congregation. We see this is a very serious matter coming in the Sunnah. And you'll see something like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like we just said about the miswak, that not to put a burden on the ummah, that he would have commanded them to use the miswak at every salah. On the other side, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam puts an order, and he is the merciful sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as a mercy to humanity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I wish that I could get someone else to lead the prayer. I wish that I could get someone so that he could do a mission. And he said, then I would go to those houses of those people who do not come to pray in congregation, do not come to the masjid for salah, and then I would burn down their houses upon them. Compare this to the verse of the talk about the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he was going to do something such as this, then how serious is the matter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and this is for the men coming to the congregation, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, to establish the prayer. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, and give the zakah and pay the zakah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, and do ruku', do the bowing with those who do bowing, with those who do ruku'. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already said, establish the salah, pay the zakah. And how should you do that salah? You should do ruku' with those people who do ruku', meaning in the masjid, praying with the congregation. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't command us to pray by ourselves, but that we should pray in the congregation. And we shouldn't miss, we learn from the sunnah that we shouldn't miss our nafil salah, the sunnahs that come before the salahs and after. They're like the fortress for the person. Some people will pray their four rak'ah and then just go away with that. But when those sunnah, if a person just held tightly to his sunnah prayers, you can imagine that he would never lose his fard. If a person was so dedicated to his sunnah before, his sunnah after, he would never lose the fard. He would be protected in between. But when a person drops those sunnah prayers, and these are called sunnah mu'akkada, things the Prophet ﷺ never gave up. Sunnah mu'akkada, mu'akkad, that it's, you know, that there's emphasis, that he never missed these. Even if he was traveling, he would never miss his witr salah, his witr sunnahs. And if he was traveling, he would never miss the two rak'ahs of fajr, such as this. We should not speed up our salah, and we should pay attention to what we're doing in the salah. Ibn Wahb, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, I saw Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, at the Kaaba, and after Maghrib, he got up to pray two rak'ahs. And he says, wallahi, by the time the adhan came for Isha, Sufyan al-Thawri hadn't finished his first rak'ah in those two rak'ahs. And he had prayed from Maghrib till Isha, just concentrating on that one rak'ah. We should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to listen to us so long as our heart is focused on Allah. If our heart turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has no need to further pay attention to that person's dua, if the person's heart is away, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us in a hadith. And also the other hadith is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the person stands up for a prayer, in a hadith Qudsi, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ, that I divided the salah into two parts, and between me and my slave, and to my slave is what he asked for. And then as the hadith continues, that when the slave says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hamadani Abdi, that my slave has praised me. If a person concentrates, if you go back to this hadith and concentrate on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying back to you, you'll pay attention to what you're saying in Surah Al-Fatiha. We should pray with a barrier, a sutra. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that if you pray, that you should put a sutra and draw near to it. Meaning that when a person tries crossing in front of you, there should be something in front, such as a chair, or maybe you're praying behind someone. And then if someone tries passing, the Prophet ﷺ said that he should fight them, or put your hand out like this, so that when the person's crossing, that he doesn't disrupt your salah. Some people may pray at the back of the masjid with a complete open area, and you can imagine how away that is from concentration, as opposed to someone who draws closer, finds himself a sutra, and prays and makes sure no one goes in front of him. We should seek refuge from the shaitan when we go for our salah. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that there's a devil, or by the name of Khanzab, that comes to the people during their salah to distract them from the salah. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that if he comes to you, you should turn to your left side with your head and spit thrice with dry spittle, such as this, such as that, to and say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim." I seek refuge in Allah from Shaytan the outcast. And this is when a person has whispers, this is what they should do, as taught to us by the Prophet ﷺ. And in conclusion, when we get up for salah, we should pray as if it's our last prayer. As Abu Bakr al-Muzani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, if you want your prayer, and this is taking from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he said, Sallu salatu muwadda, or Salli salatu muwadda, pray as if it's your farewell prayer. Abu Bakr al-Muzani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, if you want your salah to benefit you, if you want it to have benefit in this life and the hereafter, فَقُلْ, then say, لَا أُصَلِّ بَعْدَهَا, that I'll never be able to pray another prayer after this. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ يَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوهُ عَلَى نِعَمِهِ يَزِدْكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ.